This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
What's going on, everyone? Joe DeCameron, John Rich. It is 94 WIP. Great to be with you off and rolling this Thursday morning. Well, tell you what, we're moving closer to another Eagles game, which I really look forward to. For one thing to kind of wash away, even though they won last week, some of that last week game stuff. And frankly, some of the conversation this week. I mean, it's been in the mud. So, look, hopefully they get a win Sunday. We'll start moving toward that. Sixers last night. You got an injury with Jared McCain. He fell hard. We'll see what happens there. I don't think any news will break during our show, but later today, in all likelihood, it will. Jason Kelce with us at 7:30. You know, some residual Phil stuff after that Dave Dombrowski press conference 2 days ago, plus the Flyers in action tonight. All of it with you on the phone lines, 215-592-9494. Richie Rich.
Hello there, Joe.
What up, pal?
You know,
buddy? Amigo?
I thought you almost
friend?
Said... you were going to lament the win. Like, it almost feels like we lost that game.
Well, it does. It
week,
does.
And
it does.
We are sitting around and woe is us.
I know.
The average lifespan, meanwhile, of a Major League Baseball is 5 to 7 pitches.
Well, it would have been fun if you asked us a trivia question before you stated it, because that would have been a fun one to guess. It sounds about right.
Yeah.
You think so?
Yeah.
Oh,
I
yeah.
think that sounds crazy.
But, oh, I mean,
but
think about how many balls get thrown out, how many balls get fouled off. Like,
one pitch in the dirt, it's gone. Those have to factor
honestly, I'm
big.
Surprised it's not lower. I would guess closer to 5 than 7.
The first number I saw was and then I dug a little deeper just to, that can't be right. And no, 5 to 7.
That makes sense.
It's still, I can understand what you're saying. It seems a little high.
Yeah, I mean, foul balls and scuff balls. And
I mean, it feels like every other ball. It's like in the dirt. Let's throw another one out.
That's a lot of baseballs, though, guys.
So many baseballs.
Rawlings says that they make 2.4 million balls every year.
Just remember
this specific purpose. That's a lot.
For what it's worth, the ball probably goes up in value after it's used. Because if Major League Baseball wanted to sell it, they probably could. Just saying. I mean, the ball is probably more valuable after being used than being made. But anyway, all right.
Well, except the ones that go into foul, you know, then
they can't sell those
anymore.
Obviously. All right. So let's talk about the Eagles here out of the gate. You know, it's been a strange season, and it's been a tough week. And as I said at the start of the year, you know, after that Green Bay game, which they won, I said, I thought this year the Eagles were going to have a lot of ugly wins and a lot of bad losses. And you know, to this point, that's exactly what the formula has been through 5 games. 3-2, though. Today, I really want to see, John, if it is possible to talk in a positive nature about our football team. I want to see if we can stir those listening. And listen, it may not be possible. I want to be clear, guys. The floor is going to be yours at 215-592-9494 to essentially answer this question. Do you think this team this year can become good? Do you think this team this year will become good? And what is the path to achieving that? What do they got to do? I mean, this thing had such high expectations when the season started. No one right now is talking about the Super Bowl, rightfully so. We're just talking about trying to get a good team in front of us. John, what do they need to do, and what is the likelihood, in your opinion, that they really can crank this up, improve, and become a good football team this year?
The likelihood is there, and it really rests in the lap of Jalen Hurts, whether he develops the way we expect him to, the way we hope he does, whether he takes off and runs with this, or he doesn't. And it still feels like we're not getting, I don't know exactly the returns that we're getting, but this last week, Jalen's performance... no turnovers. That felt like, you know, fingers crossed, possibly we're getting back to where he's comfortable and he's not going to be turning the ball over, which I once thought was his greatest trait.
Yeah, that was
a
good step.
that he was, you know, fastidious in his preparation, and he was not going to make the mistakes that gave the other team opportunities to win. He wasn't going to turn the ball over. That was outstanding in the way that he played, and recently we've seen that has not been the case. I hope we can get that back. What else makes me feel good about the Birds? Nick Sirianni is not the only coach we have on staff. You know, Nick said yesterday, and I hate to nitpick and, you know, be that guy.
Well, James, we went 90 seconds, and he's about to say something negative.
I'm trying to be positive, right?
Nick, I mean, it's, you know, just speak your piece.
Nick said, you're never going to be perfect, right? Every coach I ever had strove for perfection. I know we're not going to be perfect, but I know we're going to be damn close. And the best teams, they can be. The best teams put together perfect drives. The best teams put together perfect practices where the ball does not touch the ground. Don't sell yourself short, Nick. I believe he is, and our team does as a result. That doesn't make me feel great. You know, Nick, it not being the best coach in my mind to guide our guys who want consistency and near perfection. You know, we are sloppy at times as a team, and I think that stems from our coach. But I do think that can be better. I do know that we're being led by other coaches, that we got a team, we got a whole squadron of coaches, and they don't coach exactly the same way. And I just hope that the precise coaches who do believe that we can get as close to perfection as possible, who are working on our two-minute and situational offense and defense, I hope they're doing a great job, because we can, with this personnel, we can still be a good
team.
Well,
that's the crazy thing.
There's that.
Yeah, John, there's so much firepower
offensively. Look around. Yeah. Look around the NFL, and other teams should be very frightened of what we have.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
We boast of our firepower. I feel great about our running game. I feel great about our running back. Saquon Barkley is going to dominate if we just hand him the ball. And I do think they will begrudgingly hand him the ball in most cases. So we're good there. Cooper DeJean should give everyone reason for excitement. And actually, Sidney Brown and Cooper DeJean, I'm going to lump them together. Two young DBs, not necessarily the same position, because Cooper's playing almost like linebacker in the nickel. Sidney Brown, I've seen him play linebacker in the nickel also, but, you know, he's a safety. They do different things. They do one thing similarly and well, and that's aggress. They get after it. They get after people. They want to hit people. I love that about these two young players, and I think they're going to infuse that defense with a lot of aggression and enthusiasm. That'll make us a lot better.
Yeah, I mean, look, I want to hear from everyone at 215-592-9494. I mean, I guess the question is, do you think the Eagles will become good this season, or is it crazy talk to even consider that based on what we've seen? And what's the path for them to do it? Now, and again, 215-592-9494. Let me just say this. Points of optimism for me are the following, and I could give you more, but I'm going to give you some big ones. A.J. Brown is an all-timer. Guy's unbelievable. And obviously, they were without him for three games. Or two games, whatever. I think it was three games, yeah. So having him back, I mean, we should not lose sight of the fact they were 1-2 without him. We should not lose sight of that. All right, that's...
I don't think we lost sight of that.
I think some people did.
Lost sight... Well, we didn't lose sight of the fact that we were 1-2. We might have lost sight of the fact that it was, in large part, due to offensive ineptitude based on the passing game being less than what it should have been.
Without him,
because the massive contribution from him was absent.
So A.J. stud. Major point of optimism. Saquon, stud. Let me give you another one. So, you know, I think one of the easiest things, frankly, to clean up, and there's a lot not easy to clean up, but I really believe one of the easiest things to clean up, and he's just got to screw his head on a little straighter, is the Sirianni in-game decision-making. I mean, I got to tell you guys, for the first 3 years that he was the coach, I thought he was fantastic. When to kick, when to punt, when to go for it on fourth down. When to kick, when to punt, when to go for it on fourth. He was great at it. And, like, this year, it's a combination of a few things. One, I think he's making some bad decisions. Two, I think there's been some snake bit element to it. I mean, Saquon could have caught the ball. They'd be 4-1. So, you know, I think that there is a pretty fixable fix right there. Just be sharper with your decision-making and hopefully not be so snake-bit. Now, and I'll say this. Here to me is the formula of how they become a much better football team. I don't know that they'll achieve it, but in my opinion, this is the formula. And I got five things, and I'm just going to rattle them off. Number one, and this doesn't per se make you better, but bear with me. I think you'll get my point. Number one, they need to beat the teams they're supposed to beat to stack wins to buy time. This team's got to be still in it in January. They're not going to become a better team in like late October. Late October's almost here. Early November, I don't think they're going to be a better team, like a good team. They need to improve over months, but they got to win games in the meantime so they're still playoff eligible, so that they can improve as teams do improve over 2 or 3 months. So that's number one. Beat the teams you're supposed to beat. Number two, Sirianni has to be better in game. I covered that earlier. He has to be. Number three, Jalen must play better. This team cannot.
Sirianni better in game as a coach, better in game as a non-antagonizer of other people in the stands.
All like that.
But those are two very different things.
How about
things. Maybe
just trust Kellen Moore and Vic Fangio and don't put your nose in it? And how about, now, I don't think he's going to do that. I think he is going to put his nose in it. But, all right, so now Jalen, number three, he's got to play better. I mean, got to play better. I don't know how else to put it. He's got to play a lot better. Number four, Jalen Carter's got to pick it up. We said it the start of this year, and we meant it. I certainly did. This team requires, because of what they don't have, it necessitates Jalen Carter to be fantastic. Fletcher Cox was fantastic year two. Jerome Brown was fantastic year two. I saw it. I watched it. Jalen Carter has not been consistently enough. We know it's in there. We know it. We're not making this up. We're not trying to turn Milton Williams into Fletcher Cox. We're trying to turn Jalen Carter into Fletcher Cox. It's there. He's got to tap into it. Number five, some young players that aren't like studs or should be studs, like Jalen Carter. Some guys got to step up. I don't know who that's going to be, but I'm thinking in terms of Will Shipley. I'm thinking in terms of Grant Calcaterra, Cooper DeJean, who already has shown us some good stuff.
Grant Calcaterra surprised me.
Was impressive.
I still need to see a lot more as impressive. A blocker from him, but yeah. the burst.
That was solid, man.
The athletic ability was really good.
You know, like a Jalix Hunt. Do I think he turns a corner this year?
Boy.
Probably not. But I also know.
How about Bryce Huff, please?
Well, I think that I got more hope in Jalix Hunt.
Do you really?
This year.
How?
I mean Jalix Hunt hasn't even been on the field
about
yet.
Him.
I just do.
I've seen
but,
so little.
But here's the thing about developmental players. Sometimes they develop.
Yeah, but.
He has to be on the field to play, though.
Guys,
I'm not saying
they're on the field and you can see that they're not developed.
I understand. All right, look, all of it on the table. What do they need to do to become good? What, in your opinion, is the realistic chance they pull it off? Or do you think we're just stuck with a season where they're just going to be stuck the whole year? You know, you win some, you lose some, you win some, you lose some. Where do you stand?
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll off.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.